Welcome to show number 42 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What's happening, everybody? Hopefully everybody's doing really well out there. I would say a lot of things to talk about today, but we'll see how it all turns out. This show, I didn't put up a thread on the fan forum of suggestions and things like that. That makes my job a lot easier, so there's a lack of sports card news and information to talk about today. I will make sure I get show number 43 up there and gather ideas for the next show. But for this show, cardinformant.com has a new look and some news on their site. So we'll talk about a little bit what's going on over there. There's a handful of products that released this week and last week that we didn't cover. We have a few of the reviews on sportscardradio.com as well. So we'll talk about a little bit of that. And my plan for the main topic, or what we're talking about maybe on the back half of the show, is kind of the world of sports. A lot of things going on in the sports world, not necessarily the sports card world, but as we've talked about on the show quite a bit, whatever goes on in the sports world directly affects what's going on with cards and prices and products and what the companies plan to do and so forth. So we'll talk about some of the things going on there. So it might be more of a general sports show. It might be a good change of pace. I know we have some serious collectors, but we also, thankfully, we have casual collectors and some people that have emailed me and said they don't collect cards at all and they listen to the show. So we'll give them a little sports news and information, just some opinion and some things going on, mainly in the football world, a little bit of basketball, and probably the biggest news, or at least the tabloid news of the past week or so, is Tiger Woods. As many of you know, I play golf. I love golf. I love Tiger. So I have lots of opinions on that. Just wanted to welcome a couple of the newest members to the SportsCardRadio.com fan forum. N. Davis, 1918. Pat's Cards, who is a hockey fan. It's always nice to have more hockey input. I know San Jose Fuji, along with some other people, are fans of hockey. So hopefully we get some discussion going on in the fan forum. Maybe they can clue a California kid in on what's going on the ice these days. And Mr. Pokey joined the fan forum over the last few weeks. So just wanted to welcome them to our little community and everything going on over on the main site. Again, we'll be talking about some products that will be released this week. Couple baseball, a little hockey, actually. We'll talk a little bit about basketball. A nice football product was released, and Razer came out with a cut signature product that looks kind of interesting, I guess, if you're kind of into that kind of stuff. We'll talk about that. Obviously, some news from Card Informant, and then we'll get to what's going on in the world of sports and some of my opinions, and just we'll talk a little bit about that. Hopefully, you will enjoy that. It will all be coming up after this.
Carly wants a cracker. Think I should get off the first. Think she wants some water to put out the blowtorch. Is it me? Heaven save. Let me clear dirty lanes. Let me take a ride. Hurt yourself. Want some help? Help myself. Got some rope. Haven't told. Promise you. Haven't you? Let me take a ride. Hurt yourself. Want some help? Help myself.
And we are back. Talk a little bit about some news going on at cardinformant.com. I've got a new look. Looks very nice. I didn't mind the old format, but the new format looks even better. So you want to check that out, cardinformant.com. Some of the major headlines over there. Upper Deck signs Greg Maddux. I found this very interesting. I know a week or two ago we talked about Upper Deck signing Mariano Rivera and Andy Pettitte. Those are two current baseball players, so they kind of took that away from Topps and some of their luster there. But they signed Greg Maddux, who apparently hasn't signed for a major card company in 3 years. So there's lots of, obviously, Hall of Fame collectors. There's guys that are Cubs fans and the multiple teams that Greg Maddux, the Atlanta Braves, he played on multiple teams. I think the Padres later in his career. So autographs, some game use stuff, all coming down the pipe from Upper Deck. Not only in their cards. This is interesting. It's still a little bit up in the air about what kind of product that Upper Deck will be putting out next year for baseball, but they obviously have intentions to keep baseball in their product line. So signing Greg Maddux is another person to add to the list. They have an impressive array of athletes already signed. So they're still focusing on baseball despite not having an exclusive deal or any deal at all to any of the logos and team names and things like that. So we'll see what Upper Deck plans to do. That will be very exciting to follow during the 2010 season. But Greg Maddux is a great addition. Not only will you be able to find cards and whatever kind of releases Upper Deck decides to put out, but obviously UDA pieces like signed baseballs and jerseys and photo prints and all kinds of other things, maybe even golf balls. I know Greg Maddux is actually a very fine golfer and plays a lot of golf, so you might find some interesting things like that over on their site. So I found that fairly interesting. We'll see what happens again with baseball going forward. Topps obviously locked in for their the major league deal. But another bit of information is Topps signed an exclusive deal with minor league baseball as well. Probably somewhat expected, considering Major League Baseball obviously houses the minor league deal, and they went with Topps for the major league card. So I believe TriStar and I believe Razor, I think TriStar had the exclusive deal, but I also think Razor also produced minor league cards the past year or so. So they'll be on their way out, and you'll just see Topps as kind of the official minor league product. And I'm sure maybe some other companies might dabble in there, but the minor league baseball card market as a whole is obviously a lot smaller than the major league deals and all the major sports. So we'll see what happens there. We've actually got a preview of their first product over at sportscardradio.com, 2010 Topps Pro Debut Baseball. I did a little bit of a write-up and some of my opinions on whether the rookie cards will be considered true rookies, XRCs, or prospect cards. It's all very hard to say. But also the fact that a lot of these top minor league players like Buster Posey and Steven Strasburg, they already have TriStar minor league cards. So this Topps Pro Debut is actually kind of a second year or even maybe even a third year minor league card. So it'll be interesting to see how it comes out. But there's some nice pictures that Topps released of some of the patch cards. They have fold-out cards. A main focus is the Futures game that goes on during baseball's All-Star Weekend, where they invite, I think, maybe like 20 to 30, maybe more than that, of the top prospects in baseball to play a little game during All-Star Weekend. So that'll be a main focus, and you'll see some game use stuff, some autographs, and Aflac All-Americans and things like that. So you want to check that out. Another bit of information, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Upper Deck, another signing, baseball signing, although Shoeless Joe Jackson hasn't played baseball in probably about 100 years. But he's a part of Upper Deck's 2010 products as well. Upper Deck has exclusive image and game use rights to Shoeless Joe Jackson. Who knows how many game used, obviously images are one thing, but game use rights for Shoeless Joe Jackson, I can't imagine he has hundreds of items floating around there, although I do believe there's auctions and things like that that go around for Shoeless Joe Jackson memorabilia. So you'll be able to see some of those things along with Greg Maddux and Andy Pettit and Mariano Rivera and among others that Upper Deck still has in their portfolio of baseball. So very interesting. I find that Upper Deck is still focusing on baseball, whereas I don't know if they let Kobe Bryant go or the money was too sweet from Panini or Kobe was advised by his agent or whatever to sign with Panini. I don't really know, but it's interesting to see that Upper Deck has focused on baseball. Obviously, their focus is on football as well because that's their one major sport that they're able to produce cards of, although hockey is a major sport, and we'll be talking about Upper Deck MVP hockey here in a minute that they released this last week. So interesting stuff going on at Card Informant, some news. Again, they do box breaks. They get Upper Deck and many other companies sending them boxes, and they're giving away all those cards. So you want to head on over there to their forums. There's all kinds of ways to get free cards these days. It's definitely worth it. I don't necessarily participate in it because I'm, I guess, part of the media, part of the sports card world. I kind of leave that to real collectors and casual collectors like you guys. But I saw, I'm big on Twitter, not really big on Twitter, but I do follow it, and I follow all the sports card tweets and things like that that go on there. But Freedom Cardboard had a tweet this week that said they're going to be giving away quite a bit of stuff this month and the coming months. So you want to check out them. Sports Card Forum has tons of free giveaways as well, so you want to check them out. And of course, Sports Card Radio, lots of cool prizes and single cards and box breaks and, you know, the whole thing going on over at the fan forum. So you want to get up in there. Just I've had lots of questions about how to find the contests and things. They're just head on over to sportscardradio.com. Find the fan forum. There's a link right on the top, kind of middle right of our homepage, and on the side. You'll be able to find it very easily. And then there's a thread contest, and you want to go through all of them. That's one of our most popular threads. The contests go down 7, 8, 10 threads deep. So you want to make sure you get in as many as you can. They all have a varying... I try to mix it up a little bit. I'm trying not to make it too complicated or to make it... you know, as complicated as I can. I'm just trying to make it interesting, give you guys fun things to do, make it an actual contest where we're, you know, it's not a subjective giveaway and things like that. So head on over to sportscardradio.com, find the fan forum, the contest thread. You'll be able to find contests there. But there's 4 or 5 sites right there where if you just have a little bit of free time, you know, even if it's just once or twice a month, try to hit up all the sites and enter the contest. You know, our site obviously is fairly small, so you got a great shot to win. Sports Card Forum, Freedom Cardboard, Card Informant are much larger sites. So your odds are a little bit less, but they do have lots of great stuff to give away. Box breaks and single cards and autographs and things like that. So definitely worth getting a part of. And if you do a month after month, I'm sure you'll be able to come up with a prize at some point. And if not, you'll definitely take something from other collectors and learn some information and bits of news here and there. So it's definitely worth doing. Well, that about wraps it up for our news segment. After this very short break, we'll be talking about some releases the past 2 weeks or so. We haven't had a show in about 2 weeks, but we're doing them regularly. I love that. For you that have checked out the fan forum, I lost my job, so can't say that I've got tears streaming down my face because of it, but, you know, obviously it's not the best of situations, but it might break up, give me some more free time. I was working literally from about 6, I was not working from 6 to about 7 at night, but I was occupied in terms of getting back and forth to and from work and all that. It was taking me quite a bit of time to get there and back, and obviously an 8-hour day, sometimes longer than that. Left me very tired at the end of the day. So don't have much to do other than follow the stock market, follow what's going on in the sports card world, and watch sports on TV. Fantasy basketball and football are all going full swing now. So got my eyes on that. So definitely expect a show every 2 weeks, and sometimes definitely more often than that. Hopefully my goal has always been a once-a-week podcast, but sometimes difficult with the scheduling. But now that I'm a free man in terms of work, might be able to do that again. So we'll see what happens, but we've got some products and all the cool stuff that you can spend your money on for the holiday season. And if you know a collector or just want to get something nice for yourself for the holidays, we've got some cool sets coming up, and we'll be talking about that after this. Secret destroyers hold you up to the flames. And what do I get for my pain? Betrayed desires and a piece of the game. Even though I know I suppose I far back. Talk a little bit about the products that have been released the last few weeks or so that you can spend your hard-earned money on. First one, Topps T206 Baseball. Actually, you can head on over to sportscardradio.com. Find the sports card directory. You can find it on the homepage. A little black arrow kind of box kind of thing. You'll be able to see that. And you can also click on latest articles. It'll be one of the newest articles on there if you're listening to this in the next few days. But Topps T06 Baseball, some nice cards up in this. 20 packs per box, 8 cards per pack. It's about $5 per pack. You get one autograph and one jersey card per box. Some nice things in the set, kind of an older, you know, maybe kind of a vintage kind of look to the set. Very nice stuff. Some nice SP cards. What I like about what Topps sometimes do is they, you know, set collectors might not appreciate it, but I certainly do, is they SP some of the base cards. And I kind of like this. Instead of just running out whatever 30, 40, 50,000 base cards and they're all the same configuration, you know, why not make it a little bit harder to get a handful of them? And I like what they did. Some of the key SP base cards: Ryan Howard, Ty Cobb, Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, Hannes Wagner, Mickey Mantle, Jackie Robinson, Tim Lincecum, Babe Ruth, and Albert Pujols can be found. So it makes those cards a little bit harder to get, obviously makes them a little bit more valuable. And it's pretty cool, you know, if you open up just a handful of packs and you happen to score an SP base card, it's much nicer sometimes, you know, if you don't get any of the hits and things like that, at least it gives you a little extra something if you want to sell it or if you, you know, want to try to trade it. It's a nice card for a player collector or even a set builder and stuff. A little bit harder to get. So I like that Topps does that with this set. Lots of parallels in here. Lots of different kind of backings and different kind of, you know, borders and things like that. So pretty cool stuff. Very similar to Topps Allen and Ginter. Similar kind of feel. They've obviously hit a winner in that set. So they kind of do the same thing here. Lots of insert cards, some relic cards, and obviously the autograph cards. There's the biggest hits are these book cards because they have cut signatures and buybacks and all kinds of cool things in them. Very nice cards, very rare. Some cool cards there. So you want to take a look at that. We've got complete sets and things like that all over on sportscardradio.com. Find the sports card directory and you'll be able to see the product preview for that. The next set that came out about a week or so ago, Panini, I guess it's Donruss Elite. It might not be referred to as Donruss Elite, but it's Elite Basketball. Came out 11/25. You get 20 packs, 5 cards per pack. SRP per pack is around $6 range. We've even got some box break videos up on the main site. You get 4 autograph or jersey cards per box, so some nice hits. Obviously, football is a big set. Lots of football collectors love Donruss Elite football, so it's nice to see that Panini kind of carried that brand and kind of that reputation over into basketball. Elite is known for its kind of foilish look, shiny foil look with a usually kind of a black theme to it, black and silver theme, and it looks really nice on the basketball cards. I really like the design. I think they did a nice job with it. Looks really nice. This year's basketball rookies, we haven't talked about them a whole lot on the show, but I think it's fairly strong, even with Blake Griffin going down and Ricky Rubio deciding to stay in his home country. Some nice rookies that are playing really well. Tyreke Evans is going to be a very solid player and probably doesn't get looked upon as much because the Kings are a small market team and don't have a tremendous following out there in the collecting world, although I think they're an up-and-coming team with some nice young players, Jason Thompson among others. And Spencer Hawes has been playing well if he can stay healthy. So I like the Kings. I like Tyreke Evans. His cards have been selling well throughout the market. Jordan Hill, Brandon Jennings came out on fire after he dropped, I guess, like 50 points or something. Maybe has kind of cooled off a little bit, but that's expected with rookies. It's kind of hard for them to sustain the huge point per game average. We rarely see rookies average huge amount of points. Even LeBron James didn't average, you know, 29, 30 points his rookie year. So we'll see what happens there. Stephen Curry with the Warriors having quite a limited rotation, does get quite a few minutes, although Monte Ellis, another player we could put on like the hot list, has been playing very well. But Stephen Curry, definitely a very nice player, and has some nice autographs in this set. They are sticker autographs, but there's 40 rookies in here, so it's a little diluted. They're all numbered to $4.99 or less, so some nice parallels and inserts in there. Obviously, Kobe Bryant autographs are going to be included here. Magic Johnson is also included. Larry Bird, Ray Allen, Del Curry, among others. So some cool stuff. The Passing the Torch autographs is a main set that has been very highly collected in the football world. Makes its carry over to basketball, so it's interesting to see there. Those two sets, you can find the whole review, all kinds of cool stuff, over on sportscardradio.com in the sports card directory. So you'll definitely want to check that out. As for the releases this week, Topps Unique Baseball. Interesting product, maybe slightly overpriced. I could be wrong here, but to me it seems maybe slightly overpriced. At 24 packs, 7 cards per pack, you get one autograph and 2 relics per box, so three packs will have hits in it. It's a 200 card base set, and the SRP is $120-ish, around that range, per box. Find that somewhat expensive for a 3-hit box. Normally, when you get over $100, you're expecting kind of a Donruss Elite kind of thing, four or five hits. We've even seen products that deliver, 1 hit per box, in that 120 range. SPX Football comes to mind, although it's maybe slightly more expensive than that 120-ish. You're getting, four times as many hits. So we'll see if Topps Unique Baseball holds at that price. My guess is it'll come down. It just seems like, unless there's some huge hits, and the one autograph is always really nice, and things like that, I'd say I would try to maybe shy away from buying that product early, because no offense to Topps, but I think it might be slightly overpriced. Upper Deck MVP Hockey, 24 packs, 8 cards per pack. Pat's Card, San Jose Fuji, this might be for you. MVP rookies, 1 and 2 packs. Apparently, forgive me for my hockey ignorance, but apparently this year's hockey rookies are highly anticipated, and as a deep rookie class, people are very excited about this year's hockey rookies. You can insert in 1 and 2 packs, although not rare, super rare. If these guys play like Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin, and have kind of the prices that they have inside the hobby, might not be a bad pickup. You get one jersey per box. And what I do like about this is the price. It's about $35 per box, right in that range, for 24 packs. And you're going to get 12 rookies and a jersey. Might not be too bad. If you hit one of the top rookies and a decent jersey, $35 might not be too bad. And if you're a hockey collector and you don't want to, try your hand at the Upper Deck Black and, some of the in-the-game stuff, might not be a bad option if you're on a budget or you just want to try something new. Upper Deck MVP Hockey, I would actually recommend that product for that price. 1 and 2 pack for a decent rookie class, and there's one autograph card per case, so you do have a chance at getting a nice autograph card as well. So decently priced product that I probably would recommend. The last product we'll talk about today, Razor Cut Signature, not necessarily a sports product, has lots of kind of, celebrities and icons and things like that. Most notably, Michael Jackson autographs, John Lennon autographs, Marilyn Monroe, among others. Only 299 cases of this produced. You get one pack, one card. You get one Beckett encapsulated cut signature per box, but spec'd about 90 to 100, maybe less than that, per pack box, I guess you could call it. Interesting product if you're a fan of Razor or just a fan of this cut signature stuff. $90 isn't too bad. You have a decent chance of getting something good because they didn't, overproduce this stuff. So, and obviously if you hit like a Michael Jackson or a John Lennon, obviously will be a huge hit and a huge addition to your collection or your bankroll if you decide to sell it on eBay or places like that. That about wraps it up for what we've got in terms of product news. After this, we'll just be talking a little bit about sports, a little bit about stuff that's been going on in the sports world. a little bit of football, a little bit of basketball, and of course, Tiger Woods. We'll be talking about him and everything else after this.
Slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting frisky right now. He's probably buying her some fruity little drink, 'cause she can't shoot whiskey right now. He's probably up behind her with a blue stick, showing her how to shoot a combo, and he don't know.
We are back. Talk a little bit about what's going on in the sports world. Not a dull moment to be missed in the sports card world and the sports world out there. Lots of things going on. Definitely affects some prices. First thing is first, probably the most major story that every major outlet, from news to TMZ to the tabloids to just about anybody is talking about these days, is Tiger Woods. Doesn't necessarily come as a huge surprise to me, considering how long I followed sports. One of my biggest heroes in life, Magic Johnson, definitely had similar troubles. I know Michael Jordan, although he's kept it very guarded and he's able to kind of duck some of the troubles that maybe Magic and Tiger Woods have had, Michael Jordan is definitely guilty of some of the similar things. And Tiger Woods, not surprisingly, fallen into some of the same issues that those athletes, among others, have gotten into. And it's definitely not surprising. You know, it's another reason, I think I've said it on this show, is it's great to look up to these athletes, and because we see them on TV so often, we collect their cards, we look for their autographs, we try to get them in person. You know, any kind of moment we have with them is kind of a life, kind of special moment. And that's good. You know, I'm never going to regret getting Tiger Woods' autograph and seeing him in person and actually standing next to his wife at a tournament. But what they do off the court is definitely something not to be admired, especially people that are married and have children, that Magic and Michael and Tiger, they all have been married and have kids and things like that. You definitely don't want to follow the same path that they have, although it's very difficult. Obviously, Tiger Woods is educated. He went to Stanford, seemed like a pretty nice guy. Same with Magic and all these other guys. They're very nice guys on the surface. And obviously, it's very difficult when you travel the world like they do, have as much money and is as recognizable as they are. You fall into the same traps. I can imagine it's not very difficult to kind of succumb to some of the pressures and some of the temptations that they have been involved with. So not going to get into too much of that, how it'll affect Tiger Woods' collectability and things like that. Obviously, I think some of the mainstream collectors, some of the more sensitive people out there, it will definitely affect. But people like me, maybe a little bit more liberal-minded people, won't mind quite as much. And hey, if you're looking for an opportunity to buy, it actually might be a decent time to buy, although I haven't checked you know, the activity of Tiger Woods stuff lately. But I can imagine the quantity of things for sale probably has gone up, so that might have adversely hurt his prices a little bit. But I can't imagine, I could say this for a fact, you can't get on eBay and get a certified, legitimate, like UDA Tiger Woods autograph for cheap, even these days. And it definitely doesn't diminish what he and others have done on the court and on the field and on their given sport. So no fault to Tiger, really. But the only advice I give to these athletes and maybe future ones, obviously we have young listeners to this show and maybe some of you will be future athletes and future stars yourselves. Don't get married. Don't have kids. Wait till you're 45. You know, the money is still, if you're a great athlete, your money is still going to be there. Your good looks are still going to be there when you're 35, 40, 50 years old. You're still going to have some popularity and some demand. There's still going to be women throwing themselves at you even after your playing days are over. I'm sure Michael Jordan is not heard up for trying to find a date on the weekend and things like that. Just wait until you're done playing and done, you know, out of the limelight, so to speak, to get married. I know that there's pressures from family and social pressures to get married and have kids as soon as possible. But as we've seen with celebrity, wealthy athletes, it normally doesn't work out. And it's no big deal to me. I honestly don't care, you know, what Tiger Woods does and what happens in his marriage. It really doesn't affect me, but he has two little kids, and it affects them. It will affect them tremendously, no matter what happens later on in life, whether he and his wife stay together or what happens there. Doesn't really, like I said, it doesn't matter to me, but his two kids, who don't know anything in this world really yet, it will affect them growing up, you know, whether negatively or positively, I have no idea, but will have an effect on their life. So that's the only thing that probably has dropped in my mind in Tiger Woods is he got married. He went in front of a church, in front of his family, you know, presumably made vows to God and others that he was going to stay faithful and stick by his wife and his kids and his family. And he, you know, kind of broke those vows. So that's the only thing that kind of drops in my mind is his. Will I still root for Tiger Woods? Absolutely. Will I be happy if I pulled one of his autographs or one of his cards or happened to see him at a golf tournament and got his autograph again? Would I be happy? Yes. You know, do I want a Scott McCarron autograph over Tiger Woods at this point? No. So that's my only advice to rich, wealthy athletes is either don't get married or, you know, wait until you're a little bit older to take that jump into that kind of commitment, because it's obvious that it's very hard to commit to a wife and stay true to her in these times when you're a celebrity and making all kinds of money and traveling the world and things like that. So, but we'll see what happens going forward with Tiger. I can imagine it's not going to affect his golf game. If anything, it's going to make it better. I'm really anxious to see the press coverage and the kind of attention that golf gets over the course, especially early next year. His first tournament back, his second, third tournament back is going to be huge, massively covered event. People are going to be scrutinizing his play on the course. If he doesn't win or isn't playing well, it's going to become an even much bigger story. So the pressure, although Tiger puts a lot of pressure on himself and the nature of golf, and the fact that every shot is like a free throw, a last second free throw in a basketball game. Every stroke in a golf tournament matters. There's a lot of pressure in that game anyways. I can imagine it's going to be more magnified. The camera crew is massive. If you've ever seen Tiger Woods play golf, I had the privilege of going to the President's Cup a few months ago and saw Tiger there among some of the other best golfers in the world. And as you see the groups come by, obviously Tiger Woods' gallery is much, everybody's there to see him. So you see a huge wave of people, whatever hole he's on, but you see a huge wave of media as well. None of the other players have nearly as many cameras and all kinds of people trying to take pictures and doing video and stuff. Tiger Woods' media group will get even larger over the next couple weeks. And being a golf fan, I think it's great. You know, I'm one person that kind of thinks that any attention is good attention, even if it's kind of negative or, you know, maybe not necessarily exactly what the sport wants. Golf, I think, has hit kind of a peak in terms of its popularity, in terms of just people watching the game. It definitely had a big boom. I remember when I was a high school freshman or maybe seventh or eighth grade, before Tiger Woods was big, I would go to the golf course and there might be baseball players and football players practicing and they would yell things and, you know, kind of make fun of me. And, you know, golf was kind of looked as upon as kind of a wussy sport or kind of a girly sport to play, so to speak. And by the time I was sophomore, junior, senior in high school, every single one of those guys wanted to be on the golf team because it was one of the coolest things to play. You only played 9 holes. You didn't have to run. Everybody realized that being on the golf team was actually a luxury, and you got to play just about every day, free golf. And so a lot of those guys were coming out for the golf team, and it definitely changed its image. And a big thanks to Tiger Woods, and I'm sure this story might change the image of golf even more. But I'm of the notion that it's good attention and it might boost golf's ratings and kind of the attention that gets put on that great sport, I think. And I think that might actually work out in its favor. Another big story, we've obviously talked about it here. Brett Favre has been playing absolutely sensational for a 40-year-old. It's definitely unheard of. We see all these great, I use quotes around the word great there, you know, college quarterbacks that are top picks, Jamarcus Russell, Matthew Stafford, and Mark Sanchez, and Alex Smith, and all these top picks get, you know, all these top quarterbacks that are all 20 years old and have huge arms and the advantage of, you know, nutrition and things like that, that Brett Favre may not have really practiced early on in his career. And here he is at the ripe old age of, I guess he's like 40 years old, 41 years old, and he's playing great, far better than I thought he would play. Obviously, he has the benefit of a great team, great running back, great offensive line, and a great defense. But he's led the Vikings to a great start. Obviously, Packer fans are a little bitter and a little disappointed that he's not in green and yellow, but you know, Vikings fans are getting on board. Definitely Vikings fans. I can't speak for Vikings fans, but I can imagine when Brett Favre was signed, you know, there was probably a little bit of a waiting period. They wanted to, you know, Brett obviously skipped training camp, kind of put the Vikings through a little bit of a runaround in terms of whether or not he was going to come back or not. But now that Brett is playing well and winning games and contributing to the team, the games that I've seen on TV, looks like he gets along and jokes with his teammates. He's really a Viking and has really fit in well with that organization, far better than he did with the Jets last year. So you see Brett Favre collectibles and Viking stuff fly off the shelves because Vikings fans are very passionate. They run deep, even in a small Midwestern state. The fans run deep. They're very passionate, and you'll see Brett Favre cards flying off the shelves these days. And I'm very, very, very impressed with Brett Favre's play. And it would not surprise me if they made a run at the Super Bowl, because he's just that kind of player, and they have great talent on that team, and they definitely have what it takes to make it in the NFC. Another great play out of the quarterback position. I've followed Peyton Manning's season very closely. Those of you that play in our fantasy football league, I do believe the playoffs are starting maybe this week. I don't know because I'm currently in last place and really had a horrible showing this year. Although I really had some tough matchups. So this is not to make any excuses, but I felt like every week the teams I played against really had really solid weeks. I don't think my team was really that bad. I didn't have that many, in a 14-man league, you're not going to have that many superstars, but obviously I didn't do very well. But in another league that I compete with my brother Ryan in, among others, a very heated league, cost a decent amount of money to play in. I do have Peyton Manning. He's having a record season. He's played great every week. He's definitely my MVP personally, and I believe he definitely should be the NFL MVP. I know people will argue with me with that, but I've seen plenty of Colts games to see that if Peyton Manning was hurt, the Colts, their record might be flipped around. They're undefeated right now, but if like Jim Sorgi or whoever their backup is was playing, I would highly doubt that the Colts would have more than 2 or 3 wins. And I think that's, you can't say that maybe about Brett Favre because the Vikings have been successful with Tavares Jackson, among others. They've done fairly, they've actually made the playoffs with him as a quarterback. Chris Johnson is another player. I have Peyton Manning and Chris Johnson on that fantasy team, so you can imagine I'm doing fairly well in that league. He's had a fantastic season on a team that definitely started out really bad and has obviously come of late. Vince Young is another person we can throw in kind of in this world of sports segment. They both have come on very strong, but Chris has played sensational all year long. He's had huge games. He's broken off runs of 50-plus yards several times. His speed is definitely unmatched in the league. He runs far faster than most anybody in the league, and I think that's it's definitely not underrated, but when you watch the film and watch his highlights, you can just see him breaking away from people, and you don't see that with every running back in the league. You see it with Adrian Peterson and maybe a handful of others, but LaDainian Tomlinson and some other top backs, they don't have that kind of breakaway bust out speed where if he hits the seam and he's only got one or two guys to beat, Chris Johnson can bust it all the way. And we've seen, you can actually head on over to the sports card directory at sportscardradio.com, find the exquisite collection. There's actually a link on the homepage that takes you directly to all our kind of exquisite pages that will be growing out even further in the future. But you can see the price action of Chris Johnson, exquisite rookie, over the past month or so, and see that it's definitely gone up quite a bit due to his great play. He's another guy that could definitely win some awards. He's going to maybe definitely some Tennessee records, but he has a chance of breaking some other NFL records this year if he keeps playing and busting the big runs as he has been. So I'm very impressed with Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, and Chris Johnson, and Vince Young. He's been playing very well. I have no idea why Tennessee gave up so quickly on Vince. He never was the prettiest quarterback, never was like a Peyton Manning or a Brett Favre type that would, you know, throw for 300 yards and throw that, you know, the four or five touchdown game, but he was a winner. He was a winner in college, and he won games his rookie year. He was sidelined with some injuries. And things like that. And obviously they went to Kerry Collins and he had huge success and won quite a few games for them last year. But Kerry Collins, I remember collecting his rookie cards when I was like, before I was in high school, I think. I mean, this guy is old. I remember having some of his, like, whatever, 1992 Pinnacle cards. I mean, this guy was around the ages when Fleer and Pinnacle were still around. So I have no idea why they decided to go with him again this year, and I can imagine Kerry Collins' career is all but done, although I think I've pronounced several athletes dead on the show and they've come back to prove me wrong. So, but I can imagine Kerry Collins' career is pretty much in the dumpster, because I can't see, even if the Titans were not to win a game this year, I can't imagine not going away from Vince Young, from the, you know, his game-winning drive last week and just the impressive last few games that he's put up and the money that they're paying him. I can't imagine. And Bud Davis flipping birds to fans, and, you know, this guy called for him back, and obviously he's right. So I can't imagine Kerry Collins coming back, at least with the Titans. So we'll see what happens. Their last bit of sports news, the extreme homer pick is Lakers. Over at the sportscardradio.com fan forum, one of the most active threads lately has been who will win the NBA Finals. I actually think I started that before the Lakers won last year, and it's definitely a carryover for this year, and great discussion. The same mix of teams are in it, and we have Spurs fan in there defending his Spurs, and I must say that I have not seen a Spurs game this year, and so I don't know much about the Spurs. I've not seen the Spurs. I definitely would group them in with the Celtics, the Lakers, the Cavs, and maybe Orlando. I'd probably even put them above Orlando. My brother just cringed over here, but honestly, I saw plenty of Orlando games last year. I respect their coach. I think he's a good coach, but he's not a Greg Popovich. He's not a Larry Brown. He's not a Phil Jackson. He's not one of the upper echelon coaches in this league, I believe, because I've seen games where, I could be wrong, J.J. Redick gets up as many shots or more shots than Dwight Howard. And to me, if you have a player like Dwight, especially in the East, where there's not very many big bodies and big-bodied centers, I know Dwight has a tendency to get offensive fouls and maybe turn the ball over a little bit, but you really should be feeding him the ball, you know, every other time up the court. The offense really should run through him, whereas it seemed they run pick and roll game. They run, you know, whatever, these kind of wraparound screens with J.J. Redick and some of their other shooters. I don't respect that. I don't respect when you have a really solid player in Dwight Howard and you don't give him the ball. And it really comes down to coaching. Dwight Howard's not 32 years old and has established himself enough in this league to demand for the ball and to call for the ball like a Shaq can, or Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett and players like that. He's not quite at that level yet, so he can't kind of override the coach. The coach really needs to take the reins there. So I'm not going to put Orlando in that mix. No offense to any Orlando fans, but definitely would put the Spurs right up there. Mainly because of their coach. I believe Greg Popovich is 100% probably maybe the second. I would say he's definitely the second best coach in the league, right behind Phil Jackson. I think there's no denying that Phil Jackson has proven himself, despite having some of the greatest talent ever to play the game. You know, I think I could have coached a Bulls team to a championship, although that may be a stretch. Greg Popovich has won titles and consistently got the Spurs to the finals and to the playoffs every year, and they're always there, and they're always a tough matchup for no matter what team they play, and you definitely can't count them out, especially if they stay healthy. But that being said, the Los Angeles Lakers have been very impressive. They've been staying healthy. The one thing I do like about the Lakers, you know, maybe separate, I don't know, I haven't seen enough NBA games of other teams, but knowing the Lakers as well as I do, the thing I know about the Lakers is they can play pretty much any game you want them to. If you're an up and down team, and really like kind of like the Phoenix Suns and teams like that that really get up and down the floor really well and you know, put up quite a few points, the way you counteract a team like that is slowing down the ball, getting the ball inside, controlling possessions, getting rebounds and things like that. The Lakers can do that. The Lakers have size, they have depth, they have multiple players that can post up. Kobe Bryant's one of the best post players in the league. Pau Gasol is one of the best post players in the league. Andrew Bynum, I wouldn't call him one of the best post players in the league, but he's a very capable center that can post up. You know, if you have a mediocre center or a mediocre big man, Andrew Bynum can definitely look very good against a mediocre big man. He can post up the ball. So they can control the ball, and Ron Artest can also play, not necessarily with his back against the basket, but he can get the ball on the wing and play kind of a half-court game as well. And so I like that, but also the fact that if you're playing a team maybe like the Celtics and maybe even like the Spurs that are more of a half-court team, the Lakers can run up and down on you because Kobe Bryant can get on the break. Derek Fisher leads the break, but also Jordan Farmer off the bench. They have quite a few others. Shannon Brown plays the break very well. Lamar Odom runs the break very well. Pau Gasol runs the floor very well. Ron Artest also runs the floor well and can finish on the break and pass the ball in transition. So that's the reason why I really think it's going to be tough for a team to beat the Lakers, and that's no homer pick. It's somewhat unbiased. I try to keep the show unbiased as possible, but I just feel that with the talent that the Lakers have, it will take some injuries or it will take an extremely good coaching job to develop a game plan and a scheme to be able to beat them. I don't really know what player. Obviously, if you take Kobe out of the situation, if your goal is to double team Kobe and shut down Kobe, teams have taken that route. And, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, that would have definitely worked against the Lakers. And it definitely did work against the Lakers. You could shut down Kobe and the Lakers would lose because Kobe wouldn't pass the ball. But now Kobe is much more willing to pass the ball. When you trap him and double team him, he pulls the ball out to draw the two defenders away from the middle of the court, and then he'll make one pass, and then it's one other pass to an open player. And you see, you know, Lamar Odom and Powell and Andrew Bynum and others get quite a few open dunks and alley-oops because Kobe's willing to draw the double team offenders away. And another reason why I like the Lakers, is because of depth. Even if they were to have an injury, aside from Kobe Bryant, although we've seen Kobe, he tears ligaments in his finger, he has, you know, off the court problems, nothing really seems to slow this guy down. I'm knocking on wood at the moment, so hopefully he can stay healthy. But I can, you know, the Lakers have won without Andrew Bynum, they've won without Ron Artest, they've won, they weren't as successful or as dominant without Powell. I really think Powell is right there with one of the key figures on the team. Really think he needs to stay healthy. I feel with Kobe and Powell and maybe Lamar, they definitely could win another title. And if you throw Ron Artest and Andrew Bynum in there, both healthy, both playing well, it's going to be really tough to beat the Lakers this year in any series. The only individual player, the only single player that I feel that has maybe a saving chance at matching the Lakers talent for talent is definitely LeBron James. He's obviously more physically gifted and athletically gifted than any player I've probably ever seen in the NBA. Michael Jordan was extremely athletically gifted and could do things with the basketball and in the air and things like that. That no other basketball player that can do. But I believe LeBron James's size is even bigger. He's even bigger than Michael Jordan is. And I feel that his athletic ability is right there or even better than Michael Jordan. I feel that if LeBron James could learn how to post up, Michael Jordan won a lot of titles by getting the ball on the elbow or on the kind of mid-block and doing that little fadeaway jumper or faking the fadeaway and then driving the basket, drawing fouls, pump fakes, things like that. Kobe Bryant learned how to do it. LeBron, although I haven't seen many Cavs games this year, I've seen enough to know he's not really a back-to-the-basket player. He really needs to develop that. I felt if LeBron James' back-to-the-basket game is probably in the C-plus range. If he was in the B-minus to B-plus range, he could definitely beat the Lakers because LeBron James, the Lakers, and nobody in the league has anybody that can guard him. Even if you double-team him in the post, he's a tremendous passer, and the Cavaliers have plenty of players that can finish around the basket. He would be a tough player to guard, and he would be the one single player that I would say has a chance to match the Lakers talent for talent. He's the equivalent to three or four players, in my opinion. If he could learn how to play to his back to the basket and develop that killer instinct, when Michael Jordan walked onto the floor with that cross-eyed look, you pretty much didn't want to ask him any questions. We've all seen the YouTube videos, or you might have even seen it live, of Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame kind of acceptance press conference. Michael Jordan was calling out high school coaches, high school teammates. He was calling out player Brian Russell. He was calling out like all these different coaches and players. I mean, Michael Jordan still 10 years down the line, 15, 20, 30 years later, Michael Jordan still hasn't forgotten. And as far as I know, LeBron doesn't have that kind of attitude. And if you want to be, you know, one of the best, greatest players of all time, you need to have that attitude. There's no doubt about it that Kobe Bryant has that kind of attitude to go through the kind of things that he went through several years back. He was in a courtroom in the afternoon, taking a private jet and playing a road game and scoring 40 points later in the day. To me, I wouldn't call it phenomenal considering the situation he was in. You can only blame him for that. But I don't think LeBron James has that kind of attitude. And it can't be said that he won't develop that attitude. I think, you know, maybe learning from Kobe and maybe talking with Michael Jordan a little bit more. LeBron, I'm waiting for him to have that. I've seen it every once in a while, but it's really that cross-eyed look. You see it with Kobe. You've seen it with Michael Jordan. You definitely see it with Tiger Woods and some of these great athletes. They just have that look on their face where even if you were Kimbo Slice or you know, Chuck Liddell, you probably wouldn't want to try to pick a fight with them when they're on the court because they just look like they'll run through a brick wall at any moment. And the fact that Michael Jordan's calling out high school coaches 30 years later, 40 years later, just goes to show what kind of competitor and the intensity that he brought to the game. And it wasn't a game to Michael Jordan. It wasn't a job. It was literally his life. And I can imagine that LeBron might get to that point, but until he does, definitely doesn't have a chance at an NBA title, at least with the Lakers being as dominant as they have been. But as we've seen in all sports, on and off the field and court and course, things change quickly. 3 weeks ago, Tiger Woods, if you gave him a personality and congeniality rating, it would have been A++ times 500. And he went from that to a failing grade, all in a matter of a car accident at 2 in the morning. So we'll see what happens. My one joke I'll leave you with: I've been following golf for many years. I truly believe that there's no golfer in the history of the sport — I've seen Tiger Woods plenty of times in person — to know that the only person that can beat Tiger Woods is his wife. So that will wrap it up for this week's show. We stretched it out despite having very little content to talk about. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Next week, get on the fan forum. If you didn't enjoy this show, or maybe you did, get on the fan forum, let me know, and give me some suggestions for show number 43, because obviously I was short of them here. We'll maybe bring back athlete. You know, the 40s is a tough number. I think that's like a cornerback number in football. There's obviously some really good baseball players that wore maybe in the 40s. There's very few basketball players, if any, that wear 40s. So we're kind of in that number where it's kind of tough to pick numbers. We'll have to wait until we get into the 80s, I think. I mean, there's some 70s, some good offensive linemen and things like that that are in the 70s, at least in football. But we'll have to wait till we get in the 80s, till we get some of those wide receivers in football and things like that. That's a pretty popular number in football these days. And then once we get into the triple digits, calling the bird too soon there, but when we get in the triple digits, we'll have to maybe figure out a different segment to run. But head on over to sportscardradio.com. Lots of new information. Check out the latest articles. If you check with us, once or twice a week, the latest articles will become your friend. You'll be able to run down the newest articles. Although, if you haven't checked us out before, if you haven't been to our site maybe in a week or 2 weeks or maybe even a month or more, first of all, I don't know what you're doing. Just kidding. But head on over there. Lots of good things going on there and on the fan forum. If you haven't joined yet, you'll want to get up on there. It's the best way to get involved in our contest and things like that. And if you want to get up in our contest and you're not a forum guy, I totally respect that. If you don't want to share your thoughts or necessarily go through the whole process of logging in, but you want to be a part of the contest, feel free to send me an email. I'll be more than happy to put a post up in there saying that you're entered. Just head on over to the forum. If you don't want to register, I can totally respect that. We don't send emails out or spam you up and things like that. I rarely take advantage of the PM function and getting a hold of the people. As many people know, I could do a far better job of promoting the show and things like that. But my main focus is the product, and giving you guys, although this podcast might not be a good example, giving you guys a great podcast, giving you guys an above average site that is definitely getting better, that I feel that will definitely, within the next 6 months, is going to be one of the top 10 destinations in terms of sports cards, right up there with the Beckett's, and the sports card forums and Card Informants, Trading Card Central, Freedom Cardboard. I really want my site to be right up there, in the Wax Havens and all the other great blogs that are out there. I hope my site can kind of find its way up into that mix of very fine sites. And so, you know, check us out. Tell me what I can do better. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. And you can always tell me what I'm doing right, but it might be a short list. And that about wraps it up today. Hopefully you guys enjoy your weekend. It's another Friday edition of the Sports Card Radio. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll be back soon. I'll be in a new place. Hopefully the acoustics are good there. Going to be moving in the next few days. So I look forward to that with a wink. And hopefully everything's going well in your lives. We'll definitely check in with you before the holidays really get into full swing, but hopefully everything's going well with you and your family. Feel free to send me an email anytime, sportscardshow@gmail.com, and the sportscardradio.com forums is always a great place to find me as well. I'll see you all soon. We're out of here.